Your expectations are killing your performance. That goes for sports and the culture beyond it. This is episode 233 on all things expectations, talking conference realignment and what that means for culture as a whole in our current society. You are tuned in to Forever Athlete Radio, where together we go far. I'm your host, Corey Camp, and today you got a special solo episode because I am so freaking fired up by this conference realignment that is happening right now in college sports, the implications of that, the expectations that are being placed on student athletes, and how really the people running the show are missing the entire point, and how that's a microcosm example of what's happening collectively as a society as we're talking how to better manage and handle and improve mental well-being. So a lot to say. Take a deep breath with me. Inhale and exhale. I need that because otherwise I'm just be yelling in this microphone the whole time. So if you're not familiar, there's been some serious shakeup in what is the Power Five conferences that make up the NCAA. Something that I'm passionate about because if you're not familiar with my story, I swam mid-major, CAA, thankfully. Still, expectations placed on me as a student athlete, but not quite the same level of expectations that are placed on you if you are a Power 5 athlete, that's for sure. This Power 5 was no longer a Power 5. At the time of this recording, the Pac-12 is down to 4 members. By the time this is released, it might be just 2. It depends. The ACC is in talks now of taking Cal and Stanford as potential members of their conference. Listen to how crazy that is. The Atlantic Coastal Conference, the Atlantic, which is on the east coast of our country, is considering taking Cal, Berkeley, and Stanford, two NorCal schools that have been in the Pac-12 for a significant amount of time and tons of history that stands between those two programs. The Big Ten recently, which at one point, who knows, was Midwest, now a few years back, they took Rutgers in, they took Maryland in, which I was really bummed to see them leave the ACC years ago. And now they have, they have USC, they have UCLA, and they continue to expand and grow. They're now up to 18 teams. And we're seeing these mega conferences be formed all across the country in front of our eyes. And a lot of it is due to media deals. It's due to that's where the dollars are. You had the Pac-12 had a chance to save face, to stay afloat in the waters and stay competitive. And they came back with a media deal that most of its members kind of looked at and just said, hey, that's laughable. We can get about $15 million or more a year annually just by simply skipping to this other conference. And so what did they do? They did. And overnight, the Pac-12 is dead. And that's where we're at. To catch you up to date on the current events of conference realignment, that matters somewhat because it's going to lay the context here. And I want to first start off today with a story. So when we're talking expectations of student athletes, now student athletes, if you're at the NCAA level, I don't care that NIL is existing there now, you are still expected to be a student athlete, not an athlete, not a professional athlete, a student athlete. That's key for context. With this expectation of being a student athlete, you are told the moment that you walk onto campus, you are a student first, athlete second. It is literally laid out in the way that that word is spelled out and that identity is spelled out. However, the actions of universities, the actions of athletic departments, of coaches, and now conferences dictate otherwise. It's telling the athlete, you were an athlete first. This conference realignment is going to be having people, athletes competing at Oregon, going across the country to compete at Rutgers on a regular basis. And this extends well beyond football. People are looking at this just through a college football lens, and they're saying, this is actually great. You get way more competitive games. We're creating these mega conferences for football. Awesome. I didn't play football. I swam. And some of these other sports, baseball, basketball, softball, you have multiple games a week. If you are having in-conference games against conference opponents, because when you join a conference, it's basically the expectation that you have to play other teams in your conference. You have to travel to said other teams frequently to play them and to compete. And that sometimes means away games, home games, whatever it may be. When you are taking a student athlete in what is supposed to be a semester where they are focused on their curriculum while also competing, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they can't do both, but you're stacking the cards so against them by really setting this expectation that they are now a professional athlete. They're going to travel just as much as players that play in the NBA, just as much as players that play in the MLB. And on top of that, they need to perform at a certain standard to stay eligible to even be ready to play, to be considered to play in their position. So it's not like they can just write things off and say, no, I'm good. So quick story time for you. It's my freshman year, University of Delaware. It's coming up the fall semester. We're getting close to what's known as our mid-season meet invite over at Bucknell University. That's a 2.5-hour drive. That's key for context. 2.5-hour drive from the University of Delaware to Bucknell. Now, we're supposed to leave on a Wednesday evening. Meet starts on Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. And me, along with about 4 or 5 other teammates, were in Chem 103. Good old Chem 103. We love that class. One of the hardest classes and just most boring classes out there, truthfully. But I digress. Chem 103. We have an exam scheduled for that Wednesday night. And that is about 3 hours after the team bus is set to depart. So, me and my teammates, we walk to our professor's office hours. And we say, hey, leave the professor out of this. But we say, hey, this is the deal. We have a meet coming up. We're expected to be away. We're supposed to travel with the team, and we have an exam at the same time. Can we, A, take the exam early, or B, have that exam proctored on the team bus or at the team hotel after we get there? Now, this professor, bless his soul, he said, great, that's so awesome that you guys have a meet at Bucknell this weekend. You can't take that exam on the road. It needs to be proctored within the facility that everyone else is taking it. You're getting no special treatment as a student athlete. You are a student here, and I'm going to treat you the same as all my other students. Your options are you can stay and take the test, or you can drop that test, and I'll just count that basically as the one test that you get a pass on for this semester. And we were like, wait, so we're going to forfeit the opportunity to have a drop test by committing and following through with our commitment of being an athlete here for this university. Really kind of sticky situation, right? And a lot of stress trying to figure this out. And it wasn't until actually a day before taking this exam that we realized we could actually take it. There was a possibility, there was a hope, there was a chance. A teammate of mine, his family was also from the area, and his dad volunteered to actually drive me and my four teammates to Bucknell after the exam. So all of that to say, we're stressing. We're trying to figure out, do we take this? Do we not take this? Truthfully, we weren't even really studying because at that point, things were looking so grim. We were like, we probably won't take the exam anyway. But thankfully, Leander, your dad, you came through and he allowed us to take this exam. We were able to stay behind, take the exam, then hop in the car, jet to Bucknell, and we didn't get to the team hotel until about 11:30, 11:45 that evening. So we were able to make it work. However, we also lost sleep. We got there well beyond the curfew from the rest of the team, but we were doing our best to try to meet the expectations as both a student and as an athlete. Now, that was just a 2.5-hour drive, logistically, that we had to try to figure it out. My heart can't help but hurt and feel for these athletes that might find themselves in a similar situation if they are Oregon playing Rutgers, or they are just a hilarious matchup to just say out loud, or if they find themselves Washington going to Penn State, or any of these new Big Ten, quote-unquote, Big 18, let's call it what it is, matchups that are now expected of this new conference alignment, this new conference schedule that is out there. And I can't help but feel for these athletes because the people in charge just totally gave them a backhanded slap to the face, saying, yeah, we've seen all of this mental health stuff, all this mental health talk, and that's cool and all. We'll give you the NIL. We'll treat you like you've been asking to be treated. And now the expectation is we're going to actually have you really perform to the max here, the beyond your limits, really. And it's just sad. It's really sad to see that. I think we are placing media deals ahead of personal development when it comes to these athletes. We are sending the wrong message to those with their boots on the ground, with the cleats on their feet, that are actually competing, and the ones that are actually driving this billion-dollar industry that is the NCAA. Studies showed back in 2021, $1.15 billion is what the NCAA made in revenue. That's insane. It's a billion-dollar industry. So no wonder that all these schools, for as much as they say they care about the holistic development of their athletes, the mental well-being, they're going to take the larger media deals. They're going to take these deals that really, really line their pockets more than it does fulfilling the needs of the athletes and the employees that are making up and making this even possible in the first place. How does this relate to the bigger culture at large? Well, this is what's been happening in big corporations for years. In one area, you have this initiative that says, we care about your well-being. And then you have actions that say directly otherwise. So sports is always going to be this beautiful, albeit in this situation, twisted mirror into a deeper look of what's going on in society. So I can't help but hear and see this conference realignment news and just kind of shake my head, and my heart breaks, because it's just a further representation of how you have two different sides of this pendulum of camps when it comes to thinking about profitability and productivity and overall well-being, and how those two things can actually exist in the same space. We look at bottom line, we look at really just profit through this black and white lens that if it's not profitable, we need to execute and get this off of the bottom line as quickly as possible because we need to be more efficient. And don't get me wrong, I understand that sports at the end of the day was always about business. It's the sad nature of it, but we get wrapped up in the stories, we get wrapped up in the feel-good moments, and we think for a second, maybe sometimes something can be different this go round. And I felt that at my time at University of Delaware. Towards the end of my career, as I went on record multiple times saying, when I first got there, I felt so loved and supported by my teammates, by my coaches, and it was great. And by the end of my time there, that feeling, I still have love for those guys that I was with and the coaching staff and the leaders in place. I didn't feel that, because what I felt and what I saw was the harsh reality that they were just bringing in another guy to do the same events that I did, and they were focused on developing him as it got to the later stages of my years, because at that point, I'd done everything that I could to play the role that they needed me to play, and now it was time for the next person, because you only had a few years of eligibility in that process. And that hurts. It hurts because we want to think that we matter more than that, that our role is more than just the role that we're filling. And we as a collective society now, as individuals and just in our current corporate culture organizations, can't help but think, like millennials and Gen Z especially, we want to feel like we play a bigger role than what is the role that we are being asked to play. We just want to feel a part of something bigger. We want to feel like we matter. And it's unfortunate that news like this kind of sends the direct opposite message, right? So again, we can't be placing media deals if we're the NCAA. We can't be placing the bottom line and profitability above personal development, because we lose sight of what makes a company a company. It's the people that make up that company. Don't ever forget it. It's not to say that if people aren't meeting expectations, realistic expectations, that is, and they aren't providing at the level that you need them to provide, and they're not performing at the level that you need to them to perform for it to make sense, that doesn't mean that you just hold on to them because you care about them as a person. Sometimes that means you actually care about them as a person so much that you're willing to let them go. And that's challenging. That is hard to do. Don't get me wrong. So media deals, they're cool. More money in your pocket, bigger deals, they're awesome. But a true lifetime guarantee, really here, something that will always give you a return on investment, is developing holistically healthy athletes and holistically healthy individuals, employees. And it doesn't matter your role. If you're listening to this and you're like, that's cool, dude, but I'm not in a leadership position, that doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Everyone has a role and equal responsibility in shaping culture. That's the really cool thing. We all have this responsibility when it comes to handling expectations. And in fact, we as individuals will turn more to peers on the same quote unquote level as us to learn and basically lean on one another to better handle these expectations, more so than when we lean on leadership. Leadership in the corporate structure, the team structure, and all of that, when we have a dynamic ladder like that, the top down, they have this extra responsibility to mirror an image. What does it mean to model leadership and how you actually shape the culture and what that culture actually is being lived? And then, but from a peer-to-peer standpoint, teammate-to-teammate standpoint, teacher-to-teacher, coworker-to-coworker standpoint, that couldn't be more true as well. We need to be able to model what is expected of us and how we can manage and those expectations. So let's get macro here for a second. I want to talk about the difference between expectations versus reality. You see the trends all the time. You got Instagram versus reality. Instagram is the expectation that we are going to be perfect. And then the reality is we're humans and we are not meant or designed to be perfect. And the further that those two things exist from one another on a pendulum here or on a timeline, the more unhappy you're going to be in your day-to-day life. So if the expectation is that you're perfect, that you have the perfectly curated feed and you can show up every day on social media that way, but the reality is your life's an absolute shit show, guess what? You're going to feel that gap and you're going to feel very depressed. You're going to feel sad. It's going to impact your mental well-being negatively. And the contrary, if your reality is really close to the expectation of what you have for your life and what the expectation of those around us have for our lives, you're going to be pretty happy more times than not. Now, these are not stuck, like set in stone, finite points on this timeline. We can always, on any given moment, shift either the reality to better meet the expectation or shift the expectation to better meet the reality. When context of this conversation, when we're talking about expectations associated with roles and identities, oftentimes it's the expectation that needs to shift closer to the reality more so than changing the reality. Because let's face it, the reality is you can't change your reality that quickly. However, you could change your expectation and more importantly, how you feel about expectations like that a lot faster. That's what the mindset shift is. That's why doing mental performance work matters so much, because that's going to be what allows you to have freedom over the expectations that you're facing. Another quick story time here for you. So earlier this past weekend here in Austin, I ended up hosting a men's mental health event with Roan. Shout out to Roan. They're a fantastic men's fitness and lifestyle company. They got some great apparel. Both, I'm rocking their shirt right now, actually. And we explored together as men this, what does it mean to have this expectation of mental health as men? What expectations come with that, just simply because we were brought into this world as a man? Some of the things that came up were there's this expectation to power through, which a lot of athletes can relate to. There's this expectation to always be a rock, to be the leader, the one that knows exactly where you're going, and you're looking behind you to your people and say, come along, follow me, we got this. There's this expectation to be perfect. And what we explored is that it can be exhausting to live up to all of these expectations. And the funny thing, as it pertains to mental health, as it comes down to our mental well-being as a whole, even the most agile of us are going to falter at times. We are not designed to be perfect. We were designed to get up and keep going, to recognize those times that we do falter, that we do actually not live up to the expectations placed on us. And oftentimes, if you're listening to this podcast, your expectations of yourself are going to be the harshest ones to live up to. It's just the fact of the matter. So you get to start doing the work and adjusting your expectations of yourself. I'm not saying lower your standard of excellence. I'm not saying don't hold yourself to that high standard, but be okay with learning and leaning into this idea that the expectation isn't to be perfect. The expectation is to learn, is to keep going and moving forward. As men, we're going to be always going through something. And as athletes, as humans, we're all always going through something. What was really cool about this space that Roan allowed me to co-create with them was we really explored this ability of what's going on in our heart and what's going on in our head to better help us navigate those waves of mental health a little bit more proactively. There's going to be tremendous freedom when you release the expectation you have to need all of the answers. And it's really cool to see companies, to see leaders, to see people, to see men, to see athletes show you what does it mean to lean and lead on one another and understand that those roles aren't fixed. So my challenge to you is kind of wrap things up here as I come off of this fiery, I don't want to call it a soapbox, but just this fiery disposition of conference realignment, what it's saying about our culture as a whole right now. My challenge to you as you go into this week and moving forward, because it's not just a one-time thing, but how can you really surrender to stop making sense of everything and drop into your heart this week to lead and lean into your heart? I like this analogy of, have you ever been skiing? I was fortunate to go one time in my life, and this was at a bachelor party back in March of 2022. First time ever going up there. And I was absolutely terrified because you're going down this mountain fast and there's turns, there's curves. I have no idea what I'm doing. The people around me are just saying, lean in. You got to do this, pizza, french fry, whatever. But I just kept hearing, lean in. And what was wild was actually the more I lean forward into this mountain, the more in control and more comfortable I actually felt skiing. And things started to click after a little while. By the end of the run, I was feeling pretty good. A lot less bumps and bruises to start the day compared to the end of the day because I got comfortable with leaning in. Leaning in doesn't always make sense. It's not always comfortable, but it's always the thing that's going to get you what you actually want. So if you want more control of your life, if you want to change your reality, you want that reality to better meet your expectations, lean into being okay with not knowing and not having to see it completely perfectly laid out, but just lean in and trust. There's something bigger at play. You're not alone in what you're going through. You have a team. You have people around you that support you fully in who you are. I know we started this podcast being a little bit doom, gloom, and saying this is what's going on, the NCAA, quote-unquote, evil, the conference realignment, evil. They're placing these unrealistic expectations on athletes, student athletes, nonetheless. And while that might be true, and while the company that you work for, you might feel and resonate a lot with that same sentiment, know that inherently, at the end of the day, we're all human. We all have the same heart beating in our chest. And it's our responsibility to look and lean into one another and say, we're not going through this alone. What we're going to do is get through this together. That is the message for you today. I appreciate you being here, listening to this. I want to challenge you to share this episode with a friend, family member, or teammate, because truthfully, we do go further together. And if you have a hard time leaning in and finding people in your life that you could truly support in that lean-in process, that's what Forever Athlete is here for you to do. Head on over to foreverathletesocialclub.com, join the social club platform, and find some life teammates. And if you can't find any there, shoot me a personal message over on Instagram at Corey Camp or at Forever Athlete LLC. I don't care. I'll answer both of them. I'm here for you. I'm rooting for you. I know expectations are really challenging, and sometimes it's a lot easier said than done to just say, lean in, forget the expectations. You got this. Get those expectations closer to your reality this week. I get it. I do. I've lived it as much as you've lived it. It's crushed me at times, but there's freedom in that lean in process. So I just want to invite you to lean in this week. I appreciate you being here. I don't even know how to end this one because I'm just so freaking fired up and just filled with gratitude that you are here, you're listening, and you're leaning in and you're doing that work. Now I want to encourage you to go get some people around you to do the same in your life. And until next week, flow on, my friends.